Somebody make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. If you don't mind, let's just stand to our feet and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, while we rise to our feet briefly. We're reading the first 6 verses of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Father, we thank you for your word that has comfort. We pray, like we have read, in the midst of this distress and confusion that came upon your servant David, he still had courage. He still was in the spirit to take courage in you. For I don't know what has befallen your people or has been befalling some of us. The situations has been so bad and has compelled us to come here tonight to seek your face. Lord, as you did it for David, your servant, do it tonight to every one of us in the name of Jesus. King of mercy, inspire us through your word, and we might find prayer points to embetter our situations. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And the church will say, amen. You can have your seats. Hallelujah. We are going to take exhortation and I titled Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you look up the word trust in any of the English dictionaries, you discover that there is no much difference between trust and faith. Amen. But why faith connotes religion, spirituality, trust is a kind of a secular word that can be applied liberally. You can apply it in any sphere, whether religious or secular. And when you talk faith, you're kind of narrowed to religion. And And sometimes, because faith has to do with Christianity or religion, some of us find it difficult to believe or to trust God. It looks as if it's a kind of something you have to work yourself up, maybe through a lot of prayers or fastings or study before you can have faith. But it is not so. Because Jesus said, if you can have faith that is as little as mustard seed, your faith doesn't have to be as gigantic and as big as this auditorium before God can step into your situation for which you are having faith for. Be it as it may, it's always difficult for us. But when we talk, use the word trust, it cuts across. So that's why I want everybody to benefit tonight. So don't say, maybe I have not had enough faith, maybe that's why I cannot connect, I cannot receive, and so forth. Any one of us can trust. Praise God. Any one of us has the capacity, has the ability to have a level of trust for what you want to receive or what you want to aspire to be or to achieve. Praise God. A child trusts the parents so much that there is nothing that parent tells that child to do that she or he will not do. Praise the Lord. The child trusts the parents so much that the child does not bother, it does not care. Does the child even think of what he's going to eat tomorrow morning? Or what he or she will wear to school the next day? All the duty of the child is to go and tell the mom or the dad, I need this. Because the child has so much confidence, trust in the ability of the parents to provide. Praise God. And that's why Jesus said, except we repent and become like little children. Because that's the only way we can receive from God. Childlike faith, childlike confidence, childlike trust, childlike belief in God's ability. Amen. But you may think you have faith until you are faced with a dire situation, a very serious situation. Until you see yourself, as it were, standing between the devil and the deep blue sea. That is when you will know whether you have faith, whether you have trust in that God you're talking about. Praise God. And then it's so important because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. Either faith as a revelation or faith to have confidence, ability to receive from Him, either way. If you don't have it, you won't be able to please Him. You can't receive. Praise the Lord. Why did Peter begin to sink when he walked upon the sea like Jesus did? Because at a point, his faith or confidence began to wane, began to fail him. He began to look at the water and realized that, I am supposed to sink now. The normal thing is that when I step upon water, I should go under. He began to think that way. The moment he began to think that way, he began to sink. Praise God. Absolute trust in God overcomes every situation, every circumstance. Absolute trust. No matter what that situation suggests, no matter what it interprets, no matter what it shows for to do, maintain absolute unwavering trust. Because that is all He expects from you. Now, if we may go back a little bit to the text we read, the story of David is a very universal story to every Christian or every, in fact, even nominal people that have read, come across the Bible, even those who are not even Christians. David is one of the characters in the Bible that stood out to be a man that knew what it takes to receive from God. Praise God. And the situation we have here, after he ran away from Saul, his master and Lord. If you read the story, or if you read the story, you discover that Saul tried by all means to get rid of David. The moment Saul discovered that the grace of God was upon David, he began to seek his life. But David would not retaliate, even though at several occasions God gave Saul into the hands of David. Because David was a man of God, because David was spiritual, because David would not take the battle by himself, he handed the battle over to God. He said, "This anointed, God, whom God has anointed, I will not lay my hands upon God's anointed." Praise God. And if you read the story, even after Saul died, the young man that came to tell David the history, the story of how it went at battle and how Saul died, the young man even tried to show himself to please David. He even took the point that he was the one that facilitated the death of Saul. Meanwhile, he was just trying to get favor from David because he was not even the one. In fact, Saul fell on his own sword and died. Even when his armor bearer, even when Saul asked the armor bearer, "Please help me, I've been wounded in this battle. I don't want these uncircumcised Philistines to kill me. Since I've been wounded, I cannot imagine anymore. Please, my armor bearer, trust me through with this sword so I can know I died in the hands of an Israelite." The armor bearer said, "Over my dead body, I can never lay my hands upon against God's anointed." So what the sword did, what did he do? He positioned his sword on the ground and fell on it, and the sword thrust him and he died. But this young man that came to tell David about the history, the death of Saul, told a lie thinking that David will be happy. "Oh, somebody has helped me to kill my enemy." He said, "Blah, blah, blah, blah. See how the battle went, and your master said I should help him, that he's so weak, he doesn't want the enemies to kill him, and so I took the sword and slew him." Of course, David went to mourn the master. Another guy called, "Call me that young man. You were not afraid to lay your hands against God's anointed?" He told the young man to get rid of him, and he died there. They killed him. But what am I saying? David is a character that every Christian that wants to have a closer walk with God, a fulfilled walk with God, we want to understudy and learn from. And you know, it was the Spirit of Christ that was in David all through the study. If you study the life of David, the characteristics that we see in him, they all, you know, portray the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And so when David was faced with a situation, he was running from his master that he has refused to kill by himself, and he ran to this Philistine king at Gath. The name of the king is King Kish. Is it Kish? He went to meet this king at Gath. And he disguised himself and told the king, the Philistine king, "Please, I am now war with you. I am running from my master, and I am ready to join forces with you to fight Israel. The king accepted him and asked him, okay, take a portion of the land with your men, about 600 men. And they continued, each day David will go out to battle. He would tell the king, please, I want to go and fight some of your enemies in so-so quarters. The king will tell him, go and fight them. He will go and kill Philistines, some sections, far remote areas. He will kill them and make sure not even one person will be alive in that city to come and tell the story. So when he came back, he would tell the king, I've gone to so-so-so side in Judah, I've gone to so-so side in Israel, and I have killed the enemies, your enemies, even Saul's people. The king will be so happy. Not knowing that David was a mole in his kingdom, but God knew all these things and packaged David so well that he didn't leak out. It came a time when Israel was to go to battle with the Philistines. And that was the battle that was to claim the life of Saul and his three sons. And David was to go with this king against Israel with his host. But before they could go for this battle, the other lords of the Philistines told the king, please, this your David will not go with us, so he will be a saboteur. The king said, no, he's sold out to our cause. He has abandoned Saul and Israel. The king said, no, the lords of Philistines said, no, we don't trust him. So the king now told the priest, stay back, the lords of the Philistines, they do not favor your going with us to this battle at Gibeah. So David stayed behind. David decided to go back because they were already on their way to the battlefield. I'm trying to tell you how this situation came about. So while David went back to the city where the king had given him to stay with his people, the city of Ziklag, when they got back to the city, they discovered that the enemies have come and taken every one of his people, the women and children, captive, and, you know, raided the camp and burned everything with fire. And that was the situation David met when he came back. And then the people that were with him, his followers, the members of his congregation, all the elders and all the deacons, all the workers in the church, and every member of the congregation, they turned against David. The Bible said they decided to do what? To stone him. Praise God. So you are looking at a situation whereby your closest constituency, the last place you can fall back on, your last hope, your defense, your background, have turned against you and are ready to kill you. And the situation, you know, so bleak. Both your wives and your children, and the wives of your people and their children, nobody can tell where they are. So you as a leader, what would you be telling them? So it was difficult. Very, very difficult. David was faced with a very difficult situation. And it is at such times that our confidence, our faith, our trust in the Lord comes to trial. That's when we know whether we really trust this God or not. It's not when you're fat, when you have a fat account. It's not when you can still afford 3 square meals. It's not when you are able to do things and then you just say you think you trust God, you have confidence. It is when the chips are completely down. Praise God. So, I don't know how your own situation is. It may not be as worse as David's case. Because I don't think there is a situation of any of us here that looks bleak like that of the picture we have in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if your situation has not gotten to that level, there's somebody whose own situation got worse than yours. There was something he did, and the whole situation was turned around. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. I said the worst case scenario that can come upon you is when your closest constituency, when your last hope of support turns against you. When they disagree with you, not just disagree with you, but they are telling you in your face that they will kill you. They will get rid of you. We are tired of this, your leadership. It happened to Moses in the wilderness several times. Praise God. And these things that took place, and they are recorded for us, it is to the intent that you and I, when we are walking, running this race of life, we will have somewhere to fall back for instruction, for direction, for encouragement. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And we are also facing diverse situations in our lives. Some of us are running this Christian faith with all that is in us. We have countered the cost. We have crossed the bridge and destroyed that bridge that we are not going back again. You know, when you cross a bridge in battle and destroy the bridge, it is either you win that battle or you die in that battle. Because when the enemy comes after you, you cannot run back, because the only bridge that you would turn back, that you pass to go through, you have broken, destroyed that bridge. I think we have it in history. One army general that took his army and they crossed a bridge and he told them, what? This bridge, we are going to break it. The only link for escape, he said, is either we win this battle or we die in the battle. So gather up your loins. But first of all, destroy the bridge. So that will tell you how determined you have to be in such a battle. Praise God. So some of us have decided to follow Jesus. Have decided to walk this narrow path, whatever it will cost us. And then in walking this narrow path, we are facing challenges. Sometimes these challenges are lined up for us to try our faith. But the Bible says every child that comes unto God must be tried. Abraham's faith was tried. It's when you are tried and you overcome trials that you now wear a crown of victory. Praise God. Praise God. And walking this faith, the end time message, the Laodicea church age, does not suggest anything Christianity out there. Even Christendom has been so polluted that you can't tell any difference between Christianity and the world. Praise God. So, those of us who have descended by His grace to pay the price, to walk this narrow path, and we are walking this narrow path, the least we will expect from God is that the Lord will give us encouragement, that the Lord will not allow situations that will overwhelm us to come upon us. But brethren, it doesn't work that way. There are situations that must come the way of a Christian to know whether you are truly in the faith or not. Praise God, somebody. But Abraham faced his own situations. Hallelujah. In one moment, he lost his wife and his daughter. That was the problem. I was seeing visions and healing the sick and, you know, have great promises. The angel would visit him and tell him great things that will happen in his ministry. He was already in the ministry. And here he was. He lost his wife. And the daughter Sharon too died. It's a confessing that God was more than able to save them. God allowed them to go. He lost his father, he lost his brother, he lost his wife, he lost the daughter. In fact, he was about giving up. The situation was so bad that Abraham wanted to take his own life. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know whether you read that story. Amen. Hallelujah. When he attempted to shoot himself, that's man for you. And he pointed the gun at himself and pulled the trigger. He didn't fire. And then he removed it and raised it up and fired. The thing went into the air. Praise God. But what I am telling us is this. No matter the situation that comes upon you, there is a God to look up to. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said, there is God to look up to. Now, there is something that David did here that is very, very noteworthy. Verse 6. The Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what did he do? He took steps that could remedy the situation. He called the priests. He called for instruments of prayer. And the priests began to pray. And the Lord began to speak. And God began to give directions on the way of escape and recovery. You can read the rest of the story by yourself. Because the Bible says at the end, David pursued, overtook, and recovered all. Praise God. But that was a man a moment ago that the people was talking of stoning him. He didn't want to raise issues with the people. He didn't want to begin to chide with them. He didn't want to begin to sermonize with them. He took it calmly and went back to the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. It is a time you stop blaming anybody. It is a time you stop pointing accusing finger to brother this, sister this, pastor this. That direction will not help your situation. Amen. You are already in despair. What you need is trust in the Lord. And trust in the Lord is practical. There are processes, there are things you do that would demonstrate that you have trust in that God. David did not go home or go somewhere and begin to murmur and to complain. No, he took the direction of prayer. Somebody say prayer. Somebody say prayer. If you have not caught that perspective or that picture, please refocus your picture now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because sometimes people are here physically, but their minds, their spirits are somewhere else. There are situations and there are situations. If your neighbor tells you what he or she is passing through, do you agree with me? But there is no situation that God cannot handle. Hallelujah! There are some of us who their rents are due. They don't know where the money is coming from. There are some who are sick. They have tried all kinds of medications. They have prayed and prayed. They don't know how their healing will come. There are some who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And they have run into despair. They are confused. If you are talking of faith and so forth, they will just be answering you. Praise God. There are some that have toiled in their businesses and so forth. They are not making any headway. Praise God. And diverse issues like that. People, some are trusting their God for their children that are wayward. They have prayed. They have tried to bring this children the way of the Lord. It seems nothing is working. There are some that are seeking jobs, employment. You have wonderful CVs. You have applied, you have gone for interview, it seems nothing is working. And so many other cases, situations, some of you are receiving attacks in your dreams. You have prayed, you have fasted, you have done prophetic action, you have met ministers and prophets. And it appears nothing is working. If you are that one tonight, trust in the Lord. I said, trust in the Lord. The God of King David shall be your God tonight. King David came to the end of the road, as it were. He was at the blind corner. He has come to the wall, brick wall. But the only thing that saved the situation was he encouraged himself in the Lord. So when you do that, you will receive answers in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And you have tried to live a Christian life the way we have exposed it to you here scripturally, based on the message of restoration. But you are still facing challenges. Some of you women, your husbands will not even want you to live the kind of Christian life you have chosen to live. And vice versa. And they are trusting the Lord. Lord, let my husband give me liberty to live a Christian life. To dress like a Christian. To worship God like a Christian. To pray like a Christian. To go to worship and services where two Christians gather. If that is your prayer point, the Lord will answer you tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! But Abraham used to say that before God would cause a man to be tested, he has already provided water to quench that thirst. God does not bring you to a situation, a child of God, that will not have solution. He doesn't do it. In Corinthians, we read, there's no temptation that has come upon you that is not common to man. He said, God is what? Faithful. Who will, in the same temptation, make a way of escape. So that you will be able to do what? To bear it. He's not a wicked God. But God is looking for somebody who will play his own part of the deal. What is the part of the deal? Apart from David being a man of faith, a man that has confidence in God, he was a man that knew how to draw God to his situation. He was a man that knew what it takes to have relationship with God. He was a worshipper of God. Praise God. In his attitudes, in his mannerisms, in his approach to issues, he always put God first. So it's not just enough for you to come and exercise faith and trust. There are other ingredients that go with it. In fact, there are ingredients that precede your having faith and confidence in God. Amen. David was a man that God handed his enemy, as it were, in his hands to kill. But he spared the life of Saul. Praise God. But you are a Christian, you are marking the step of your brother, the step of your sister, to put a tackle on him to cause him or her to stumble. And they are coming here tonight, we are talking of having faith and confidence. And you are saying amen. But in your heart is wickedness. In your ways is wickedness. Evil. Praise God. You are plotting how to get your brother to stumble. You are plotting how to get your sister to stumble. No, you are not the type of David now. Praise God. You are asking somebody, finding out, please find out if that, investigate and know whether there is any way he has ever spoken evil against me. Not that you had, though, not that the person spoke evil of you, but you are probing. Why? Because you have an intention to put a stumbling block on the path of that brother, on the path of that sister. That is not Christian. That is not a child of God. Praise God. Amen. While David could not lay his hands on his enemy, unquote, because anybody that is looking for you to kill you is your enemy. Brother, let me show. Anybody that is after your life to kill you is your enemy. We cannot paint it. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a bishop, whether it's a prophet, whether it's a king, and he is watching, getting at you, plotting to kill you, is your enemy. Praise God. But it takes God for you not to take that battle back by yourself. It takes God for you to leave God to fight that battle. That was what David did. That was the mindset of David. That was why whenever he prayed, God answered him. Praise God.